Welcome to Episode 9, Building Your Remuda.
Hi, I'm Abigail Boatwright.
And I'm Kate Bradley Byers.
And together we form the Freelance Remuda. We are both passionate about horses, obsessed with media, and we love to tell stories with words and photos.
As freelancers, we know the value of professionalism and importance of connections. We have a thirst for improving our craft.
We want to give you the knowledge and tools to join us in elevating equine media, because when we help each other, everyone benefits.
Life can be interesting as a freelancer in the equine industry, but you're not alone. Grab a cup of coffee
or a glass of wine
and join us.
Freelancing can be a solitary job. Instead of working in a cubicle or office with other professionals, you may find yourself at home most days. If you're like us, you may get a little bored without social stimulation. Worse, if you don't make a conscious effort, your skills could stagnate. In this episode, Kate and I will be talking about ways you can continue your education and also how you can find and build relationships with other equine media professionals.
That sounds so amazing. Build relationships. I like that. Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited about talking about this. When we first started planning it, I wasn't sure how much we would put together, but we have a really great list of ways that you can learn and ways you can build community. So I'm excited to talk about it. So the first one is conferences. I know we always talk about conferences because we have made a lot of our connections one-on-one with the American Horse Publications Conference. But I feel like that's the first thing I always think about when I think about continuing education. How about you?
AHP is probably the first thing I think about, but, you know, I've also attended the Ag Media Summit put on by Livestock Publications Council, and I've been to Photoshop World. So, you know, I think of those two because I know that they have different groups of people that attend those conferences, and it's kind of fun to step out of just the super focused equine world and maybe get some ideas from other creatives, especially the Photoshop World one. I mean, I started looking at how I could edit photos differently or how I could light photos differently. So, you know, AHP is great in that it's always got something that I feel like I can use, but sometimes it's neat to branch out a little bit. So I'm excited that we're talking about other types of conferences and opportunities today.
Yeah, for sure. I think no matter what conference it is, you can network with people, you know, with colleagues or with potential clients and current clients, like especially, you know, AHP and probably Ag Media Summit. Your fellow freelancers are there, but also, you know, the editors are there, and the content buyers, you know, there's horse companies that are looking to buy photos, or there's just a lot of different people that you can meet and you can make a connection with. Even not horse, you know, like you said, not horse conferences, you could find story ideas from other people and just get refreshed and get excited about your work.
I mean, sometimes I never get tired of taking horse pictures, but I know that people that have been in the business for decades or kind of have their standard setup for a portrait or their standard setup, for something, you know, that's horse focused. And when you attend maybe a different Photoshop conference, like the Santa Fe Photo Workshop or, you know, maybe something else like that, then you get a new idea of how to maybe make an interesting photograph that could even start a new trend or something like that. So I feel like it's a way to renew your love of what you do, whether it's photography or writing, and then just kind of like refresh yourself and refresh your ideas. And, you know, if it's using flash or off-camera flash or, you know, something like that or backlighting for photography, you know, then it's motivation to gain that new aspect of your skill by, you know, learning from other people.
Definitely. For sure. And I know that there are other types of conferences, you know, like podcasting or advertising or design. There's just pretty much if you've got a particular type of work, there's probably some kind of conference for it. And I was looking up some for podcasting, the podcast movement, that's one I've heard a lot about. Have you heard of some other types of media that have conferences?
Yeah, I mean, like the Niche Media Conference, it brings together a lot of different social platforms, as well as having sales and advertising, you know, because I know maybe not everybody focuses on writing and photography that listens to our podcast. So, you know, if you even put in an internet search, just, you know, photo conference or social media conference, you can find a ton of different opportunities to go to, and you can, you know, filter them by some place that you want to visit even. Like, hey, yeah, I've never been to San Francisco. I want to find a conference that's out there. So, you know, you can tailor things to kind of make it a unique trip, or, you know, you can... I've done this before. I've gotten so focused on trying to go to this one conference because everybody said it was really neat and that it was so cool. And then I thought, the more I looked at it and looked at the price tag, I was like, why do they like this? And it was all the extras. It wasn't even really the sessions. It was like the extra stuff. And that's why they liked it. So that's when I started trying to find conferences that really made it worth my while professionally to go, you know?
Right.
Because... it's fun to go to a new city maybe and have a mini vacation while you do this. But at the same time, you know, stick with your goal of having a solid learning opportunity. So, I mean, internet search away and see what's out there. Make sure that they're accredited, though, because – or not accredited, excuse me, but they're still functioning and that they have, you know, a solid list of speakers, things like that. So – because I was doing some research for this podcast even, and I was like, oh, these are really cool. And then I saw they hadn't had a conference since 2014 for one of them. And, you know, their site was still live. And I'm like, okay, no. Let's rein it in, you know, and think about the ways to find a legit conference. But, you know, I think conferences are a great way to go. But I know that, you know, and you can go in person, but you can sit in an auditorium type. But then if you find small courses, you know, there are those workshops and opportunities out there, too. You know, you've done some after school, if you will, learning after you graduated, haven't you?
Yeah. And that's something that people always ask me if I took photography in college. And I took one course of photography, and it wasn't even actually how to take photos. It was how to evaluate images for messages. And it was fascinating. But it didn't help me actually take photos. So when I got the job, I mean, I got some on-the-job training at the internship, but I enrolled in a couple of continuing education photography courses at the local university here. And it's, you know, after hours, and it's a couple of weeks, but it's hands-on. It was really, really good, and it really helped me get the basics with my camera. And I made some friends that are photographers, and we would go and take photos, and I learned a lot from them too. So having that in-person course was really helpful, especially in my area, because I got some connections and some colleagues out of it as well. But it was solid education, and it really wasn't that expensive. It's nothing like a university course. So have you taken anything outside of college?
I attended a one-day seminar, like auditorium-style conference on Adobe Suite. But my after-college education has truly been on the job and mentoring and coaching from coworkers and then just friends within the industry. And that I have found that I learn better not sitting there and watching someone do it, but actually having hands-on. So like that one-on-one kind of targeted working relationship when you're with somebody is really cool. And I know that not everybody has the opportunity to find a mentor or a coach, but, you know, I feel like if you kind of look around for maybe some social media groups, you might find that there are in-person opportunities once you join a group. But I mean, do you have a mentor or a coach that you've reached out to, or have you kind of looked for coaching opportunities or just educational courses?
I have done some one-on-one, like what you were talking about, and those are super, super helpful. But that was actually when I was at Paint Horse. And so they had a photographer come in. I know it's Daryl, actually. You've learned from Daryl Dodds, too. And so that was really helpful, but not cheap, you know. And so I didn't pay for that one. But then I haven't had a whole lot of that. I'm looking for possible, you know, official mentoring relationships or coaching relationships, because I think that's really helpful. More than that, I've just reached out to somebody, either a photographer or a freelancer, that's a couple of steps ahead of me in the game, and asked them for advice, or a former editor. I'll reach out and say, what do I do in this situation? What would be the best, you know, the best thing to do? And so that's been helpful, but I haven't found anything official. But I know there's a whole bunch of coaches out there that their whole business model is helping people level up on something. And so I think if you know you have a certain area that you're weak in, it's smart to find, you know, a mentor or a coach that can help you in that specific area. And it doesn't have to be an ongoing forever relationship as far as, you know, where you pay them, but just going to somebody for some advice, I think that's helpful.
Have you ever found that maybe visiting with people that don't write about equine, they have a hard time kind of understanding, mm-hmm. maybe not just the lingo, but maybe kind of understanding why some information that they might think is just like fluffy is actually endearing to an equine reader? And because I reached out to an editor one time, an English editor, and they helped me a lot with my grammar and mm-hmm. sentence structure, but it got to the point where I just overlooked their comments on some of the equine related stuff because mm-hmm. It was kind of like a knowing your audience type of situation. Do you feel like there's ever some, not really like pigeonholing, but mm-hmm. because of our industry, but is there some areas to watch out for if you're looking for a mentor, like some things to look for or not to look for?
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me of, I listened to a whole bunch of podcasts and, you know, I always look up freelancer and I'm like, yes, this is going to be great. And I listen to a freelancing podcast and it's about something totally unrelated to what I do. And I'm like, okay, that's not really going to help me, which is kind of why we started this podcast. There's not a lot of info out there about what we do. And so, yeah, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Absolutely. Any advice that you get, run it by your own metrics of if this will work for your audience. Absolutely.
I just thought I would ask because I had that situation occur. And I mean, it really did, you know, if you reach out to somebody who is not maybe an equine professional, but they have an expertise in something else, you know, like portraiture or, you know, maybe they take action shots of sports figures and you're able to learn from them, even just like a weekend learning opportunity, and you find a new way to pan for photos, or you reach out to maybe a former college professor or someone that is really focused in grammar, sentence structure, or, you know, something like that, mm-hmm. editing. You can always learn, I think, from every opportunity, you know, even if it even if it doesn't exactly fit our portion of the industry. So.
Absolutely. I think that especially for photography, that's really helpful for me. I got the basics on, you know, the horses. There's a certain way that you do that. And, you know, you've learned that. I've learned that part. But portraits, incorporating people into photos with horses and then the editing of those portraits, that's where I really had to learn a lot. And I'm still learning and I'm still trying to learn. So I've talked to my friends that are portrait photographers or wedding photographers, or and they have excellent insight on shooting the people that are in those photos with the horses. So I think that's really true. You know, like, getting advice from outside of the industry can only help as long as you make sure that it matches the rest of what you need, you know, so pick and choose what works for you.
You know, you say pick and choose kind of what works for you. I joined Kelby One, Scott Kelby's creative live trainings, I kind of let my membership lapse. But I really enjoyed going through the different segments, the different theme areas that they offered, and taking the courses that worked for me. And the fact that they were already uploaded was huge. Like, I didn't have to sit down at my computer at a certain time to learn about it. It was whenever I had the time to sit there and figure it out. And by watching those online courses and webinars, that has really benefited me as far as skill set for editing and working in the Adobe program. So, you know, there are a ton of online courses and webinars, I think, that really help people gain knowledge and skills on their own timetable, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think you probably were the one that told me about Kelby One. But like I said, I've been on this journey to, you know, I want to improve some aspects of my photography. And so I've been trolling Creative Live and Kelby One, and there is so much there that you can, I mean, you could get overwhelmed. You could just nonstop learn for, you know, weeks and months. But it's so comforting to know there's all that info there. And again, you have to, you know, it's not all going to apply to us, but there's just a lot of stuff there for those, you know, for photography or design or videography. But I like that the courses where you pick and choose, because I have a really hard time with anything where people are like, you need to meet at 8 p.m. tonight. I'm like, nope, not going to happen. You know, I have to do it on my own time. But there is some benefit to those courses that do have that timeline, like Pointer. I've taken some courses through that website, and that's a journalism website, and they have really awesome articles to read, but there's really good training there for journalism, everything from how to craft a good story or putting together a story with a certain type of timeline or something like that. I've taken a couple of courses with that, and there was the element where you were live talking with the instructor and you could ask questions and there was assignments, and so it was really intense, but there's also courses that you do on your own time. And so that was really helpful. And then there's Media Bistro. That's everything from PR to copy editing to writing to, you know, book writing. There's just a lot of stuff there too. And so those two are my go-to on the writing side. As far as courses, there's so much info there.
You know, lynda.com is another one where you can become a member and have access to, I think it's like more than 5,000 courses, and they're in different technology aspects, but there are also some courses in business. And I feel like that's really nice for folks that have their own business or are trying to start up their own business. They're getting ideas on how to be a good businessman and how to set up a good business model. So that could be really helpful too. And, you know, some of these courses that we're talking about, like Pointer, Media Bistro, Kelby, Lynda, I think they all have memberships, right? Or you pay by the either pay by learning segment or pay by annual membership. Some of them have free trials. And I know that oftentimes when you sign up for something like you were saying that has a timetable on it, you know, it may be more pressure filled than some people want to do, but it can also, you know, because we work with deadlines all the time. Like, do we need another deadline in our life? But, you know, we also do work with deadlines. So it's kind of nice to already have an idea of when to learn something. But, you know, I just think that there's so much that you can learn online and even for free on YouTube. I am not going to lie. I had some trouble with Adobe Audition. I was trying to edit one of our first podcasts and I was like, and YouTube it is, because I couldn't figure out how to adjust one thing. And man, those people on YouTube, they're fantastic. They make kinds of videos and they're for free. So, you know, pick and choose, obviously, who you watch. Make sure that you are watching some crack job, but YouTube is also very good for free advice.
I agree. And it's funny you say that about Audition. I had a tape recording blunder where I didn't have my microphone plugged in properly. And so I recorded like 3 different interviews where I couldn't hear the other person at all. And I could hear all the background on my side. And so I was on a deadline and I'm like, oh, I have Adobe Audition because of the podcast. So I was like trying to figure it out. And I spent a lot of time on YouTube videos trying to figure that out. And I did figure it out, but it's a lot easier to just, you know, plug in the earbud in the right spot. But there's YouTube for that. Pretty much any Photoshop issue you have, there's something on YouTube that you can figure it out, from swapping heads to HDR. Like, there's a lot of stuff there. You can fall down the rabbit hole of information, but I'm grateful that it's there.
I completely agree with you. You know, there's a lot of things that we've already talked about where it's kind of solitary. Like, you pick a conference to go to by yourself, or you do an online mm-hmm. course by yourself, or, you know, you're watching YouTube in the middle of the night to try to fix something mm-hmm. by yourself. But, you know, I think that one of the reasons that you and I maybe have grown together to do this mm-hmm. podcast, and then, you know, as freelancers, is because we kind of built a community with each other where, mm-hmm. you know, I call you for advice. We've swapped, you know, source ideas before.
Yeah.
And we're friends, but we're also, in a sense, you know, rivals for the same mm-hmm. kind of jobs and criteria. But, you know, in the long run, we're part of the same community, the freelance mm-hmm. community. And a lot of us freelancers, we work by ourselves. So,
yeah.
you know, I think it's important for folks to reach out and make friends and build their community, as this is called Building Your Remuda.
Yes, I'm excited to be part of the Remuda with you. And I have loved the community that's starting to develop from listeners in our Facebook group. It's neat to talk to other freelancers and commiserate and share, you know, triumphs. This is kind of a solitary thing. And we talked about it. That was my biggest adjustment to freelancing, was not being in an office anymore. And it can get lonely, you know, being at home all the time. But there are some avenues to build some community. And I know for you and me, we struck up a friendship when we were both on staff places. And I was really excited that you were at Western Horseman. And so I wanted to reach out, you know. And so one thing that I found is that when people are doing cool things, other freelancers, that sometimes you can feel a little bit envious. I mean, being totally honest. And so there's people out there doing cool things, and I'm like, man, that is so cool. And so rather than get envious and, you know, bitter or whatever, you know, because that person had that opportunity, I found that if I look inside myself, like, what's the deal here? Like, do I want to take better photos? Do I need to find the better story, you know, a cool story? And then, one, reach out to that person and congratulate them for a job well done, and then try and improve my own craft. It could be easy to look at other freelancers and see them as rivals, but it's better to just focus on your own work and know that you have value as for your own skills. There are so many magazines out there. There's so many content buyers that there's a lot of opportunity there. There's a lot of stories getting pumped out each month, a lot of need for photos, and there's room for a lot of us. Like, you can't write all the stories and get all the gigs, right? You know, there's room for other people. And if you're building those relationships, you know, you could pass on a job to somebody else, or maybe they'll pass on a job to you because you've built those relationships. But it just encouraging each other. It's nice to have people like you, Kate. You know, if I'm having a hard time with a source or something, just venting and then over, and you've got a suggestion of how to get in touch with that person, or, oh, hey, here's a different source to maybe try. It just means the world to have somebody else that you can call up, or a group where you can chat with other people. I think that's the conferences, going back to that, you know, I've made some friends at conferences that we kept in touch afterwards. You know, if there's local people meeting up for drinks, or just reaching out by Facebook or a phone call, it doesn't have to be solitary, you know, especially if you can look over seeing other people as rivals, but seeing them as colleagues, and that there's lots of work that we can share and that we can help each other get better. I think that helps develop some relationships.
You know, I have to tell you that I am noticing more and more that some of the people that have joined our Freelance Remuda Facebook group, the private group, I'm mm-hmm. seeing their names in different publications. And I'm like, hey, way to go, freelancer. Yeah. At the same time, I've read a couple stories. I'm like, dang it. Why didn't I think to write that kind of story? But, you know,
yes.
As we say in our intro, you know, we want to lift the entire industry up. So, you know, what you were saying earlier about seeing somebody that's taking awesome photos and being a little bit envious, like, let's just try to all, like, up our game, you know, kind of deal. And I'm such a cheerleader right now.
We are cheerleaders. We are.
You know, we all are getting the work that we're getting because of our talent, and everyone has different talent. It's kind of like, you know, when you're in grade school and they're like, you can be whatever you want to be. Well, you know, be the writer that you want to be, you know, go to a conference or take a course, or, you know, be the photographer you want to be. Save up that money. Don't go to Starbucks 3 times a week, you know, just go one time on Friday or on Monday to get you through the week, you know, and save that other $8 from the other 2 cups of coffee you didn't buy, and go to a conference, you know, at the end of the year or something like that. But just do whatever it takes to up your game and build a community, whether it's going to conferences and learning and making connections there, or reaching out to somebody on Facebook, or sending them an email that says, hey, I read your article in blank magazine. I was also in the magazine with this article, and I noticed you are a freelancer, and I just wanted to let you know that I really liked your work. You know, maybe you'll strike up a really cool friendship there. Just have coffee, do a FaceTime chat. You know, I've realized that I really love FaceTime chats. Like, it's just, it actually makes me want to call my friends more when I can see their face. And now that, you know, we're scattered all over the place after college or whatever else, you know, FaceTime is a great way to kind of collaborate or see a colleague, even if you're far, far away, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing each other on Skype right now and recording our podcast, and it's so much more fun to see the person. So, you know, I think that scheduling a coffee break somehow together, or, you know, if you live in the same metro area but maybe on different sides, find a shared workspace like a hub or something and book a room, and then, like, have a collaboration meeting there. You know, just get out there and shake those solo blues off and find your little Bermuda friends.
I love that. That reminds me, the workspace, that's another thing. If you're lonely at home, there's those shared workspaces out there, and some of them look so cool. You know, they just have that good vibe. And so depending on what you need, you know, if you want some inspiration by being around other people, if you draw energy from being around other people, those are a great option for me right now. Got my kiddos running around, and so I need a quiet space. We've tried to do the podcast from the co-working space before. And so, but there's that too. I mean, they've got those quiet rooms if you need that. And so if you're feeling lonely at home, that might be a good option. And sometimes people work better when they go somewhere else and they go to work, you know, quote unquote. And so there's more and more of those popping up everywhere.
And some of them even have those $8,000 standing desks that I can't afford, and I want so much. but anyway, sorry. Yeah.
Yes, there are. There's a couple in Fort Worth that have those desks, actually. I don't love them as much as you do, but you have – that would totally be up your alley.
I think I've become a wiggle worm. But, you know, it's – we have fun talking. And I think whether we are at AHP with some of our other freelancer friends that we enjoy seeing, or whether we're actually having coffee while FaceTiming or talking about dinner or something, you know, it's just helping us to build a stronger relationship, which, you know, in turn makes our working relationship better. So, you know, I think I would say my kind of wrap idea is to just find something that helps you better yourself creatively, like whether it's a course or a friendship or a mentor or, you know, getting out of your house a little bit. Find a way to boost yourself up, and your craft will come along with you, I think.
Yep, I love that.
Well, guys, we will definitely link to all of these continuing education ideas in our show notes. So be sure to visit freelancermuta.com. And don't forget that you can join our Facebook group, which is private for professionals in the equine industry, or you can like our Facebook page, which is public. Also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and just look for us at Freelance Remuda. And be sure to subscribe to our email list from our website, freelancermuda.com, for extra material and added benefits. And we will definitely catch you next time.
Bye.